like fools, using them like tools. But let me tell you, we won't abandon our souls. No, sell it for your dollar bills. Cause more than money, we're seeking for wisdom, trying to improve our freedom. Hey, there is no insanity nursing in our bosom. Still, you wanna treat us like hoodlums. You're lying, you're cheating, you're killing, but we're still standing.
Right. Shouting. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the final hour. I'm your host, Travis. Hope everybody's having a fine night, Friday evening. If you're listening to the show, I guess you got nothing to do, and or you care about world events and you're trying to learn something. I don't know. Or you have the demographic that's not out partying, I guess, right? Friday night. Anyways, last weekend we went over a little bit of a recap of the Ultimate World Order. Might dive into that a little bit. If anybody's had a chance to catch up and read up on, that'd be awesome if you wanted to call in with your comments. Didn't really have a lot planned for tonight just because I've been busy working some side jobs, trying to earn a little extra money. You know, the slave rat race kind of pisses me off that we're all tied to this messed up financial system. And, you know, here government just wants to give over $14 billion to Israel, who doesn't really need it. You know, they're claiming they need this to fight Hamas, who doesn't have one tank or, you know, one airplane. So they need our help, our money. You know, these politicians are, you know, spending our grandkids' money, basically, our kids' money, the unborn's money, you know, and just, it irks me. But anyways, I'm happy to have a job and, you know, do some stuff I like, and a little side money's good. But I thought it was interesting. My daughter showed me a paper she wrote, and the title of it was, "Why Don't More People Rebel from Dystopias?" And so I thought I'd read it. Coming from a 13-year-old as a, you know, school assignment. She got a 100%. So I guess they were assigned the topic about dystopias. They were learning about dystopias. And I'm just going to read it for you. "Why don't more people rebel from dystopias? Dystopias are horrible societies, and most people do not rebel because they are scared or worried that something bad could happen if they rebel. Dystopian societies are places that are controlled by a strict government or ruler. There is little to no individuality, lots of surveillance, fear, and limited freedom and information. People in dystopias do not rebel because they are scared of the consequences. They do not have enough resources, or they might not even know that they are in a dystopian society. Being in a dystopia would be hard, especially if a person doesn't even know that they are in one. People don't know how to rebel in a dystopian society because they have never learned how, or they don't have the resources to rebel. Usually in dystopias, everyone has little resources and information, so it's hard for anyone to rebel or even think of how to rebel. In most dystopias, people don't even know that they're in one because of how limited their information and knowledge is. The strict government control prevents lots of people from rebelling because of the power they have compared to a regular citizen. It is very hard for to rebel because of limited resources and information given to them. People in dystopias also do not rebel because they are scared. Even if people know how to rebel, they often don't because they are scared of the consequences that might come if they do rebel. From the article, "Fear is Simple and Profound," by Julia Butterfly Hill, "Fear will drive us to make choices then our hearts don't take long to make. When a person is scared, it is hard to make the choices or do the things that they want to do. Consequences can be big or small, depending on how strict the government is. People in dystopias often are too scared to rebel, even if they don't know how to, because of the consequences or punishment that would come. Sorry, I was a little messed up there. In dystopian societies, people have very limited freedom, so this prevents lots of people from rebelling against the strict and oppressive government. In most dystopias, everyone is under lots of surveillance, so they are being watched most of the time. It is hard for someone to escape or rebel if they are being watched, because they could get caught. The freedom to do things like even going to park is very strictly planned out, or you might not even be able to do anything that you want. It is really difficult to rebel when lots of people are watching what you do, or they limit the things that you can do. Dystopian societies are hard to rebel from because people are scared. They might not even have enough resources, and their freedom is very limited. In dystopias, people have limited knowledge and resources to help them escape or rebel from the government or ruler. So, she repeats herself in the last paragraph, but you get the picture. I was from a 13-year-old, and she's right, you know. People don't rebel. Just look at what we're dealing with. And, you know, going back to what we read in the first 20 minutes of each show, The Ultimate World Order by Robert H. Williams, as pictured in the Jewish Utopia. You can find that on archive.org. Just type in Ultimate World Order. He basically states that communism was set up as a temporary means to an end. And in a way, you know, it seems like they've blended this whole communism, capitalism thing. We have so many layers of deception, and these infiltrators have been infiltrating our government for so long that, you know, basically they've set up different forms of law that we're aware of. The Constitution doesn't apply. You know, it none of us signed it. It doesn't apply. I mean, and they operate outside of it all the time. So what we have is communitarian law, or basic Talmudic law, and that's what's set up in this country, and nobody knows it. And again, one of my main questions is, why didn't anybody know about this book? And I'm sure you can all see why, but, you know, basically, the Jewish Utopia was a master plan laid out by the tribe. And it's been laid out for centuries, probably. So they're following along. And, of course, you know, all the current events and everything kind of lines up, and it all adds up. It's all one big scripted theater. I mean, I haven't even been following what's going on in the Middle East that much, or anything else, especially American politics. It's all theater, in my opinion. So, you know, the deeper aspects are where we should all be focusing on, so we could try to educate people, try to talk to them, let them know what the real enemy is, how it works, so we could all figure out ways to fight back, I guess, because that's really what our only option. Fight back and die trying, or we're going to be sucked up into a bio-digital, you know, open-air prison where we'll be monitored 24/7 through nano sensors implanted in our body. You know, we'll be connected to the grid at all times. They'll be able to monitor us, and we'll be like, you know, these smart cars, these electric cars. You know, they could shut us off. They could drive you back to the dealership if you stop making payments. And that's what it eventually could be in a couple hundred years when they perfect this technology better. So, you know, again, this book was not marked top secret. It wasn't hidden away in any real special place. It was in a special library that you had to have special access to. But, you know, it was still out there. And again, you know, there's other points of evidence that collaborate and correlate with this. You know, the protocols of learned elders of Zion. In my opinion, that's a more detailed version of the Jewish utopia. The Jewish utopia was like kind of like, you know, a rah-rah document for them. You know, talk about how great it's going to be. And in my opinion, that's what it was. You know, and again, the book was called The Jewish Utopia, not A Jewish Utopia. And again, what the implies is that is what they're striving for. You know, A is just a conception. You know, when you say A, it's just a conceptual concept. But anyway, you know, the evidence is out there. So many times we can pull lines from the Torah or the Talmud or what they're saying. But again, talking to the average person out there, they don't know what you're talking about usually. You know, and right now the media is dividing people into which side of the aisle you stand on. Do you support Israel? Do you support Hamas? Support Palestinians? Well, poor Israel, you know, just all a bunch of garbage, you know. So, you know, the author pretty much states, here at last is the complete plan of the Zionist. In their own words, basically for world domination, governed out of Jerusalem. Of course, they're the righteous. They're the ones that get to write all the laws, you know, apply them differently for them, and apply them strictly and harshly on us. You know, it's merely a sum total of the prophecies, teaching, plans, and interpretations of the foremost rabbis and Jewish tribal leaders of the past 2,500 years, since the time of oral law and the beginning of the Babylonian Talmud. That was quoting the author. I agree. 100% agree. This plan has been in place for a long time. They're experts at executing it. Look at how well things are lining up for them. Look at how deceived the masses are. I mean, they don't care about a couple people talking about it on RBN. Not that many people are listening here. You know, we're pretty much neutralized. What can we do? Again, you know, I don't know anybody's got any good solutions on that. Nothing seemed to work, you know. Convention of States, you've got all these little groups and tactical civics, you know. They sound like they're pretty on top of it, but I don't know if they're going to be successful with anything. Nothing seems to be. You know, the courts are all owned. Media's owned, obviously. So we're pretty marginalized. We're in a corner. We're in a predicament. And, you know, again, not many people seem like they want to talk about it. Again, not many people seem like they cared about it in 50s, 60s, 70s, you know. We were distracted. I don't know. I don't know. We were distracted. We were brainwashed, asleep, under a spell. I don't know. Mr. Williams, the author, also notes the book was not found in the library proper. It was found in the Abraham I. Schneitzer collection, to which one may have access to only via special permission. And it is not and was not listed in the library catalog. Okay, so it was a little bit hidden, but still it was out there. The aim of the Jewish Utopia, quotes Mr. Higger, who he was the one that wrote The Jewish Utopia. For my main problem is to reconstruct an ideal social life on earth as pictured by the rabbis of old. Well, if we can imagine what the rabbis of old were doing back in the day, that's probably what they would have in store for us in modern days. I mean, sacrifices, I mean, you know, they were all doing all sorts of crazy stuff back then, you know. Nothing new under the sun. So, yeah. From beginning to end, Jewish Utopia emphasizes what the rabbis, the Talmud, the Old Testament were talking about, and that was an earthly regime, not a spiritual one, but an ideal political, racial, economic, and social era from the Jewish viewpoint here on earth. And it is to be a one-world state conforming to a single ideology. And that's where the biodigital technocratic dictatorship's gonna be led from, basically. So, let's see what else. And of course, they were highlighting, talking about using people's racial differences to their advantage. Of course, we've seen that play out. I don't know how well it's working, because some people seem to be aware of it, but then again, it does seem to be working in a lot of areas of this country. I did find it pretty ironic that they wanted to interbreed with a bunch of other races to create their own master race. I found that pretty ironic. That was on page 47. Of course, Jerusalem's going to be the capital. They're creating the kingdom of God, blah, blah, blah. You know, the author might have been a little off on when he thought this thing was going to begin, but he did seem to kind of predict a confrontation with Egypt. Of course, you know, the Jews, they're going to have a cultural renaissance, and basically they'll be placed in the upper tier society. Of course, you know, they already are. There already are a lot of doctors and lawyers and, you know, the CEOs of major tech industries and pharmacia and media. Yeah. It was pretty bad. Yeah, they, you know, we pretty much know that the Jewish nationalists back in the day launched communism as a destructive front to pretty much destroy Russia. We talked about that the other day with William on the show. So here we are. I don't know. Here we are. I'm opening the calls up, to, you know, early. Anybody wants to call in and give us a chat about what your thoughts on the book and where we're at today, 512-248-8252. Welcome all new callers. You don't have to give your real name, your real location. We don't care. But yeah, I'd like to know people's thoughts on this. And if the calls are dead, I'll just keep babbling on and get some articles open, some current events stuff. But, you know, I don't care to talk about current events, really, besides trying to tie it back into the bigger picture where we're at. So, yeah, love to know your thoughts on the book. I think more people should read that book. Again, if you haven't read it, it's a short read. Probably read it in a night or two. I'll find another good couple articles or books to read or something down the road, but I think it's pretty important. It really highlights where we're at today. And, you know, at the end of the day, these people are all eugenicists. They all seem to not care how long we live, and they'll use us to, at their disposal. And but they're going to live forever, you know. And I often wonder, you know, how is it that Kissinger, you know, they all live to these ripe old ages? Of course, they have the best medical health care, and you know, probably eat decent food, and you know, they feed us crap with, you know, 20 ingredients in a bottle of ketchup, and you know, they're killing us. You know, nobody talks about the EMF radiation we're exposed to daily. You know, why was this big push to get 5G out there in the middle of the quote unquote pandemic when we're all supposed to be locked down? There's cell phone towers going up everywhere, and I could tell you one industry that did not shut down and kept on going was construction. And most of the guys out there in the construction industries pretty much didn't want to take the clot shot either. I mean, there's some, of course, but just kind of find everything pretty ironic. I've been on a couple construction sites lately, and guys I run into, you know, they all sense the danger. They all know. They all smell the poo in the air, you know. So they kind of know what's up. I don't know about the level of to the RBN listener, but they have a general idea. And, you know, some people more than others, but a lot of people are willing to talk about it. And that is good to engage people in dialogue. That's the whole idea of the show and RBN and taking callers is, you know, we need to share opinions. We need to talk about this. We need to put this out there and come to some sort of a consensus on where we stand, what our options are, how we can unplug, and how we can maybe support each other. Because, you know, all we want to do is just live our lives. The average guy out there working a job, paying the bills, he just wants to be left alone. But at some point, the whole system's going to break, and they're not going to leave us alone. And they keep going on and on about the COVID, you know. I'll read you a stupid thing about the CDC still insisting that people need to get boosters, yet, you know, COVID infections have gone down and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're still pushing it. And it's pretty ironic because I don't think many people, even the people that got the shots, are buying it anymore. So, yeah, give us a call. I want to know your thoughts, especially if you're a new caller. 512-248-8252. Of course, old callers are welcome. But it's going to open it up early again. One more night of discussion. And the next show, I'll find you some good articles and things to read on. But here we are. You know, again, all this stuff was out there. All this stuff is available for anybody that's curious, wants to know. And sometimes you feel like you're talking to a brick wall, trying to tell somebody, hey, you know, it's not just the communists. It's not just the Palestinians that are the problem, or the Jews, you know. It's a mix of everything. Of course, the Jews are at the tip of the spear, of course. But, you know, you still have to sometimes talk about the Freemasons and how the Freemasons were involved in the setting up of this country, basically sold us out to the crown a long time ago, aka the Jews, basically, also. And, you know, here we are. You know, they had us under Admiralty Maritime Law, which, you know, it probably still is the foundation of this new communitarian law, in my opinion. But, you know, they've basically collateralized our lives. We're nothing but cattle to them. We're property. And yet, so few know this. So few want to talk about it. You know, I'll bring these topics up to people. You know, they kind of look at me weird. And some people distance themselves and, you know, whatever, fine. You know, if you can't handle it, you want to live your plastic fake life and think everything's going to be fine and, you know, nothing's going to change. And, you know, look at how they've targeted the food supply in the last couple years. How many food processing plants and chicken houses have burnt to the ground? It's a serious issue. You know, it's a serious issue that we've allowed, you know, one of these eugenicists, Bill Gates, to sit here and buy up all our farmland for what? You know, he's talked about rewilding farmlands and land, just basically letting it go fallow. And but obviously, this country's one of the most productive countries and resources in the world. And you have these psychopaths, you know, advocating rewilding our farmlands when we're importing all these people and the world population is going and we feed so many other countries. You know, we have these crazy weather events nowadays. seem to be happening more and more extreme. In my opinion, it's not climate change per se, as the climate cultists like to say. But it's definitely a danger for our food supplies. And if we keep experiencing this inflation where, you know, fuel could be $10 a gallon or more, or, you know, food triples in cost from what it is now, I mean, it's going to hurt a lot of people and it's going to make a lot of people desperate. So I think we all should really be focused on ways to get more self-sufficient, more reliant on ourselves, develop some skills that could help you, that you might be able to trade. I don't know. That's the only solution I've got. So again, I'm all ears for anybody who wants to chat away on this topic, these topics. I see them as serious issues that we need to discuss more. And it's hard to find the people that really want to get into the nitty gritty of it, you know? So that's why I do like RBN, because it's a place where we can still talk like this and most of the audience is like-minded. And, you know, we're not going to get the trolls out there calling, even though that makes for fun entertainment sometimes. We're here to learn. We're here to work together. We're here to talk about this. So, anyways, when I come back from break, I'll roll out some articles until we get some callers. But there's a lot of topics I want to talk about. But, you know, again, you know, some of these fun topics that, you know, I'd like to spend more time on, at the end of the day, does it matter? Does it matter what happened in ancient history, you know, besides what kind of shapes society we're in today? You know, some of the cool stuff they're finding, you know, trying to figure out if it's real or not. That's another, you know, tricky thing because there's so much fake crap out there. But there's a lot of things we need to talk about. You got to remember, we're pretty much behind enemy lines. This government's declared us enemy number one, the people. People that actually pay their bills, they've declared us the enemy. And they've unleashed all sorts of nasty things against people, you know, whether it's targeting people, you know, experimenting on them. How many times in history have they done this? You know, anybody remember the Montana Freeman, excuse me? Ruby Ridge, you know, this heavy-handed crackdown on people, the Waco incident. Why are they so, why do they hate us so much? Why are they after us so much? Lark in Texas. Let's go to Lark.
Howdy, William.
Yeah, let's take a break and then come back with Lark. Another caller. Guys, we'll be right back for a break. We just got to get that out of the way, all right?
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Two callers. I think we'll take them both on, Lark and Chance. Lark called in first. We'll let Lark open it up. Let's discuss your thoughts. What do you guys got?
Well, first thing I want to say is your daughter at 13 years old sounds like a remarkable lady. That was very well written.
Too, when I read it, I was like, wow, I got to read this on the show. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, she's got her head on straight, which is why I think I was attracted to you when I first heard your voice and discovered you had 3 kids and you were married and you were living in, what, Arizona and working in Alaska. I thought, man, if there's an Everyman USA, it's this guy. You know, what are you, like in your late 40s, something like that?
Yep, pretty much. Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, I really appreciate the fact that you did the reading of the Ultimate World Order. I didn't really stay with you so much through the reading because I read the ebook about a dozen years ago. What I remember is this line, a Jewish utopia begins where Wells left off. Now, they're talking about H.G. Wells, who was an early Fabian socialist.
Right.
And remember, the Fabian Society was chartered by the Crown in 1884. When we look at the events of American history, number one, when we go back to the Revolutionary War period, if we want to begin there, we can certainly begin much sooner. I think the PSYOP began with the so-called discovery of America by Columbus, and we can touch upon that if you'd like, but that was a PSYOP that's affected current events to this day.
Right. Because everything in history we were taught in school turns out to be a lie.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little secret. As soon as man discovered language and became more facile in its use, man became a storyteller. And he also became a teller of tall tales.
Right.
And so history is really just lies agreed upon, at least if it's been handed down to us. So that's just kind of something I kind of roll with. But, you know, going to the so-called American Civil War, we were afforded the education of a slave. And don't forget, public education was championed in the state of Massachusetts by the likes of Horace Mann before the war between the states. And it only got worse at the turn of the century with the likes of John Dewey. And we have to remember that John Dewey was a hero to Vladimir Lenin and the Soviet Union, as was Frederick Winslow Taylor, F.W. Taylor, who was one of three so-called fathers of scientific management. He was a hero to Henry Ford because he was tasked with doing time motion studies on Henry Ford's assembly lines.
Really?
And, yep. And so that's where he kind of gained his reputation, because these time motion studies were integral to making economical the processes of that assembly line production, which was important for Ford because he's dealing in dollars and cents and you know, profit and loss in the bottom line. And he had all he had the marketing that he had to deal with. He had that changed America. That changed America, just like the railroads had changed America before that. But going back in time real quick, and I'm just dancing around, because again, history is really what are lies that are agreed upon.
Right. I'd like to hear some more from you on the knowledge topics, because this is where I think we're lacking in, you know, background in a lot of this.
Yeah, go ahead and bring Chance on.
Yeah, Chance. I wanted to invite Chance on. What are your thoughts, Chance? You hear Chance? Are you muted? Well, we'll keep talking. We'll keep talking, Lark, until Chance gets on. But
yeah, I think if I can accomplish anything with my call-in tonight, I just want to drop some breadcrumbs for your listeners and yourself, things that I've been looking at for a long time and that I've talked about in years past. And, you know, things are forgotten. There's new listeners. There's new hosts on the network. But they're worth a revisit, and so I'm going to attempt to do that with this call tonight.
Yeah, please do. Let me hear what you got, because you sound like you've been around the block, and you've done a lot of reading, and you've had a lot of free time to educate yourself, and that's who we need to hear from, is people that really know about these topics.
I typically don't talk about current events because I don't feel qualified to weigh in on something that everybody and their mother and their uncle are weighing in on. And I don't think any of them are apprised of all the facts. And so,
right.
You know,
right.
It just feels fruitless for me to try to contribute to something like that. I mean, I've got opinions like everybody else.
Right.
But, you know, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
So, these societies like the Fabian Society, you know, the Tavistock Institute, I mean, they seem like they were instrumental in kind of getting this set up in the, you know, up into the 50s and obviously beyond that. But they really seem like they laid the foundations for a lot of the psyops and mind screwing we got going on.
If you or your listeners have never listened to the 5-hour audio recording of Richard Grove interviewing John Taylor Gatto, and it's called The Ultimate History Lesson, it's available on different platforms on the internet. You can listen to it. It's a great investment of time.
The Ultimate History Lesson?
That's what it's called.
Okay.
It's Richard Grove and John Taylor Gatto. G-A-T-T-O. So the thing about your reading of The Ultimate World Order that is significant, at least for me, is it paints a picture of how people that define or self-identify themselves as Jewish can understand each other across time.
Right.
You know, wow. Jackie Patru used to be a presence on this network. He did a whole series of recordings with the late Alan Watt, who was a host on this network for many years, more than 10 years. And she wrote a book called Jewish Persecution. You can read it yourself. It's sweetliberty.org. And in it, she quotes a man described as a learned Jew named Moses Mendelssohn. And he said that Judaism is not a religion. It is a law religionized. Now, I found that quite fascinating, and particularly as I discovered that there's quite a correlation between Talmudic law and communitarian law. And, of course, people can discount communitarian law if they wish, but it is the new law of the European Union, and it was a law that was put together over a 70, 80-year time period. And it happens to be the model legal underpinning for global governance today. So, and
when did the European Union decide this was what they wanted to do?
I don't know, a dozen years ago or better. You can look it up. Just look up European Union, and then look up EU law. The law of the European Union in the French is known as acquis communautaire, which translates into English is simply communitarian law. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to even bandy this word about anymore. Okay, because people have been talking about this in American academia since the early 70s. Early 70s. It's been talked about in academia worldwide in different languages because it all emanates from what's called convergence theory. You can look that up, too. Convergence theory, because the people that won World War II, let's put it this way, it wasn't Americans.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't your average Brit or Irish fellow or Aussie or South African.
Right.
We all lost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you were German or Italian or whatever. We all lost that war. That was a war on humanity, okay? That was an orchestration, just like World War One. Just about all of these wars are. All these wars require a lot of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And the first casualty of every war is always the truth.
Yeah, right.
That's what we've got to remember. So I don't know where I was going, but...
Well, you know, what I've always found curious was, this whole propaganda notion, you know, Edward Bernays, like, he had this stuff perfected back 100 years ago. And here today, people are still unaware of, like, the methods and tactics they use on people. You know, one of them is repetition, going over and over and over, just and then the way they use the words, and then now these catchy little phrases that don't mean anything, but yet people are still falling for it all the time.
Well, let's also not forget, besides Edward Bernays, we need to look at a gentleman by the name of Ivy Lee.
Ivy Lee, I've heard of that. Yep,
Ivy Lee. He actually preceded Bernays.
Mm-hmm.
So Bernays is called the father of public relations, but really it should be Ivy Lee. But that's just that's another story. You can look these things up. And by the way, anything I say, it's searchable. Okay? We've got this tool. We can use it. But going back to why I think it's significant, your reading of the Ultimate World Order, it's first of all, this was based on finding a book written by a rabbi and a UT Austin professor, a publication called The Jewish Utopia that was written in 1932, in which he just laid out what was the utopian vision of the Jewish people. And it goes back, you know, hundreds, even thousands of years.
Right.
So... that's why events that occurred, for example, at the time of the Revolutionary War period, the Constitutional Convention period, the subsequent Treaty of Paris, which ended the hostilities through to the War of 1812, and then to the war between the states, and all of these wars, you know, we can track the movements of people that have different mindsets and different worldviews. And what were they doing at that time? The notables. And then we can get a real read on what was going on. Because, you know, there's always, you look at British intrigue, for instance. You know, you can look up a guy named Palmerston. I mean, the British are famous for this, but there have been spies throughout history.
Yeah.
It's just it's the way it happens, you know, between factions, warring groups. People have contractual relationships. They have trade agreements with different peoples in different states or countries and so forth. And there's always people that want to monitor that. The fact that people are holding their end of the bargain up.
Right.
So industrial espionage is a fact of life, for instance. And
Israel's pro at it.
The thing about it is you can look at some of these important documents that I'm going to lay out for y'all if you want to hear them, that were written, and you can read them today, and you can get a better read of where we've been as a people historically than what heretofore has been laid out before you as being the truth or facts or what have you. There's always some nuances that we must consider upon new reflection, upon learning new things.
Right.
Wouldn't you guess? So one thing that I've always hearkened to is this idea of the Treaty of Paris, number one. Did we gain our independence from the crown in Great Britain? Did we gain our sovereignty as a people, as a nation, so-called the colonist?
I think not. No,
we didn't.
Right.
Now, there's such a thing under the feudal law, which you can also look up. It's known as a suzerainty. And it's spelled S-U-Z-E-R-A-I-N-T-Y. And basically what this is a contractual relationship. there is a bond that struck. Okay, there is the sovereign, and then there is the protectorate. In that case, I believe what occurred was the colonists, represented by three men, with the coming together of that Treaty of Paris and its eventual signing.
Right.
Remember, they were all esquires.
Right. Hey, hang tight. We're going to break real quick and hang tight with this thought, and we'll see if Lark's, the other guy's here on the next. We'll come back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
HempPaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit HempPaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hey, did we ever get Chance in here? Did Chance get his audio figured out? Or Chance?
Hello.
Bella.
Hello.
Hey, Chance. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay, Travis. It's the first time I heard your show. I figured I'd call and say howdy. By the way, that was a good song. I remember that song, "When the Levee Breaks" by Zeppelin. Wow.
Yeah,
I was rather young. 10, 12 years old, I think. The reason I called is I heard your previous caller mention Jackie Petru. I remember listening to her on the shortwave in the 90s. And I always wondered what happened to her. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she had a show on the shortwave radio, Patriot show. She was up in northern Pennsylvania, not far from the New York border, Millersville, Pennsylvania, I think. So I was kind of surprised when your previous caller mentioned her name. The reason I called now, Travis, is this. Now, I don't think the American people have what it takes to take their country back anymore. And I hate to sound like a pessimist, but let me tell you, when I look back and I see Gordon Call, Randy Weaver, and to top it off, Waco, how the American people sat still and didn't even bat an eye when those people were murdered. You know, I gotta say to myself, man, you know, it's going to come down to each individual to save themselves, because I just don't see people getting together anymore. I mean, they talk about minor issues like politics, as if politics is going to change things. They haven't progressed to a point to say, hey, wait a minute, man. You know, we're at a point now where it's coming down. I really feel it's coming down. I mean, it's been leading up to this.
Yeah.
All the examples were there over the years. And I feel now, you know, and now I feel it's coming to a head. And what's your opinion there, Travis?
No, I agree, man. I just wanted to let you know Lark's still on the call, too. I was going
to
let
Okay. Well, he mentioned Jackie Petru. Like I said, I used to listen to her on the shortwave years ago. And all those people, I don't even know if they're alive anymore, but I go back to, I don't know how long you've been researching, but I go back a long time ago. Bill Cooper is who I really miss, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, guys like
Bill Cooper.
Yeah, Bill Cooper. Guys like Bill Cooper they're hard to find nowadays.
Hard to find on the internet. You got to search, like, special archives and stuff.
Yeah,
Mark, what's your thoughts? You got any thoughts to add into this? We'll keep you both on for a while. It's been quiet.
Chance, was it you that mentioned Basia last show?
What was that now?
Did you mention the band or the song, the singer Basia?
Not that I recall. I could barely hear you, though. I heard you mention Jackie Petru, and I used to listen to her on the shortwave on... I believe it was WWCR back in the 90s.
Hey, guys. Yeah. I'm going to have you both come back after this break. We just got to hit a break real quick. But stay, hang tight.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.